to hear about your news. Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. Where is it? Oh, quite a way. Right. That's quite a journey down there. I think it's not the easiest thing. Well, you're having a rough year. I wonder if I can... Can I put a chair in there, do you think? We're so packed out. There's a space here. Right. Okay. Phil, ready when you are. Hello. Hello. Good to see so many of you here. And the smell of coffee and the candlelight, it's great. Terrific welcome. And a very special welcome to you, especially if you've not come here before, if you've not been here before to Christchurch. But of course, this isn't about just Christchurch. This is about all the churches and the whole community in Marlborough. We are celebrating tonight as the whole community commissions Peter. And she's just brilliant, isn't she? Yeah, that was true, a little smile. And because she's utterly brilliant, she's put all sorts of stuff on the table for us. And I can see that it's already become something to do here. So you can colour. Yes, you're colouring already. There are things to read and there's a quiz. So please feel free. And there's coffee and there's cake. And we're going to have a wonderful time of worshipping God too. So lots to interest us. And I can also see there's Origins and Lemons there. We're still selling tickets for that. And oh, there's so much stuff on the table there. So please have a good look through it and eat all the cake. So now I'm really going to kind of worship together. I'd love half a cup of coffee.
Neil, Janet, and Eddie, a few of you can join us as Thank you. Jill,
Kath.
So organised we all are. Come on, girls. No, we're standing up. Okay, this is on your tables. You have some copies of this reading from Galatians. Don't worry if you can't see it, everybody, but for those of you who like to follow. And please feel free to take it away with you and read it before you go to sleep. And then maybe read it again when you wake up tomorrow morning. It's always quite a good thing to do. This translation is taken from The Message. Most of you, I'm sure, know that The Message is a version of the Bible written by Eugene Peterson, who wrote it for his congregation in Canada and has since been encouraged to do the whole caboodle. And it's in a much more accessible language than we normally hear.
My counsel is this: live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence?
It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom.
But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely.
Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. Thanks be to God.
Just a few thoughts for you. Do you remember being small and people asking you, or your friends asking you, whether it was adults or not, what you wanted to be when you grew up. I remember that quite clearly. And I remember when I was little, my brother wanted to be an astronaut, because that was very vogue. Does anyone remember wanting to be an astronaut? Anyone go back to those days? Simon, did you want to be an engine driver? You're not prepared to say. Think about it for a minute. What did you want to be when you grew up? A spaceman, absolutely. Anybody else like to share from those recesses of the past? What did you want to be when you grew up? A nurse. Anyone else? Sheila, what did you want to be? You can't remember. Liam? A cowboy, that's excellent. Good choice, Kath. Oh, brilliant. A fire engine, that's even better. Very good. Well, I have to say you failed because you don't look much like a fire engine, but anyway. Okay, well, lots of us may feel that we're not actually terribly grown up even now, of course, even those of us who are supposed to be. Can you remember what it was like being a child? When I was thinking back, I felt it was very much a kind of us and them situation I had to get back into my head. And it seemed that us was everybody who was under about 4'6". And them was everybody who was bigger than 4'6" and told us what to do. Do you remember that? That sense in which they were the ones that told you and we were the ones that did it. Or we asked what we had to do because we didn't really know. So what about today? A recent poll that I read on the internet by a commercial organisation showed that more than half of teenagers don't want a career when they grow up. They just want to be famous. Mm-hmm. And more than 20% of this group plan to achieve that through reality TV. And 5% think that they can achieve it by dating a celebrity. 68% of this group didn't know how to become famous, and only 19% believed that they actually had the talent to reach this goal. Of this group, the whole group, 68% named as their top role model Kate Moss. 60% picked Wayne Rooney, who's just the other week was described by Rob Liddell in the Times as being spectacularly useless for Man U and England these last 6 months, and a grim figure of petulance and venom. 60% of teenagers saw Wayne Rooney as their role model. 53% opted for no-holds-barred pop star Lady Gaga. Asked the question, what would you like to do for a career? 54% said, become a celebrity. Now, we know that celebrity culture is an arm of our good old consumerist society. Fame is a product, and it's a product that's marketed to us to make us want it. Human beings become commodities, and appearance is everything. Talent is somewhere, but doesn't seem to be that important. Celebrity culture suggests that no one has any worth very far beyond how they look, their usefulness or ability to succeed. The highest achievements in celebrity culture are wealth, sexual conquest, and of course, fame. It doesn't matter how you get these things. Today's teenager wants to be known and wants to be connected, hence the rise in social networking sites like Facebook, things like Twitter, which one has to say are not just confined to teenagers. Today's teenagers want to be known and they want to be connected. Shopping is not just for things, We shop for experiences. We shop for meaning. Our teenagers have no problem in telling us who they want to be like. But somehow, along the way, we've lost sight of what we want to be like and the qualities that define us as human beings. What message does our society give about what we want people to be like? There's little sense of overarching purpose to life or any idea in we could be actually making progress to become more like whatever it is that we ought to be like. I was very challenged this morning in the service that we went to. The preacher mentioned how he'd been challenged many years ago by a sermon in which the speaker had suggested that he found it very difficult to name anything in the last month that he could say he'd changed in his life as a consequence of his Christian faith. And it made me think of what we're talking about now, of having a desire to progress, to become something, to aim for something. In our culture today, people don't really know what they're aiming for other than becoming famous and rich. Politicians tell us they're trying to create a better world, but they're doing so without any common sense of what a better person is, what a just person is. We want a just world, but what is a just person? How can those people embarking on the route to adulthood become such people? Any Christian outreach to young people starts by meeting them on their own territory, loving them and understanding them and validating them just as they are and without any ulterior motive. We're not trying to make them into churchgoers. Of course, they are lovable, every single one without exception. And believe you me, as a teacher, I'm sure Debbie would agree with this, you see some that are quite challenging to love. But isn't this the example that Jesus gave us? Jesus didn't leave it, though, with just an example. God rescues and forgives sinners precisely so that they can grow into people who resemble Christ and share his nature. We then become equipped for our original purpose, which is to rule over creation in God's name. The Devotion Youth Project is committed to loving the youth of Marlborough, churched or unchurched, there's no difference, and presenting to them the possibility of a way to be that's been tried and tested and not wanting. Following in the steps of Jesus goes against the flow of our culture, but in a most exciting and cutting-edge manner that you can imagine. And Devotion is here to stand with the rebels. In our society, which all of us would agree is rapidly changing, the most important role of the church, and I don't mean those in the building, is to be what God has called it to be. And God has called it to be a God-empowered community of transformation and a community capable of developing people of virtue. That's what we need to stand for, and stand for it nice and loud. When the church is pointing to Christ, when the church is becoming like Christ, then we're addressing that question for the whole of society. What kind of people should we be? What kind of people shall we be today, next year, next decade? What kind of people shall we be? And that's a far more important question to answer than what technology people are going to be using in 10 years' time, what we'll be able to do in the future, or who's going to be the next superstar, or whether Cher will win the X Factor. Let's just pray for a minute. Father, please help us to show others more of what you're like through the way that we are. Please forgive us for the ways that we know that all of us fall pitifully short, but yet you scoop us up and love us. Please, Holy Spirit, fill us and transform us from the inside out so that we can show the world what it is to be a follower of Christ, and we can show the world Christ. Through Jesus' name, amen.
To walk her way through the chairs. Okay, we're going to ask Peter some questions now. And while I am, if you think of any questions that you really want to know the answers to, there should be some post-its on your table, so write them down, and then either give them to your table host, if you have one, and if not, then just bring them up yourselves. Okay. Yeah. So, Peter, when and how did you become a Christian?
Okay. I would probably say that I became a Christian one Saturday afternoon in August when I was 6 years old, which is quite a long time ago. I don't know what year it was. I tried to work it out earlier and I couldn't. about 21 years ago, yes, that's how old I am, about 21 years ago, there was an organisation, you might have heard of them, called United Beach Missions, yeah, who used to come to our town every summer, and they'd run a kind of beach holiday club for children, and I used to go along. I think my mum wanted to get rid of me. Where is she? There we are. Is that right? Yeah. And we used to go and sing songs and things, and it was all very fun, and we'd play games on the beach. And one afternoon, this guy came to talk, who I think was called Alan Greenspan, and he did a bit of a altar call, I guess. There was no altar, because it was a beach. But yeah, that kind of thing. And I went and prayed with him and decided that I wanted to follow Jesus. And he wrote to me every 3 months for about, probably about 10, 15 years, and used to send me Bible reading notes. So that was really lovely. He was quite a big influence in that. But I know there was a date when I said I became a Christian, but to be honest, it seems to be a recurring process of recommitting myself. And there were probably lots of moments throughout my childhood where I said, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus again, properly this time. So yeah, I think it was more of an ongoing thing.
Okay, and how did you get into youth work?
Okay, well, I was thinking when Helen was saying, what did you want to be when you grew up? And it made me laugh, because I wanted to be Prime Minister. There is still time, that's true. I wanted to be Prime Minister. I grew up in quite a vociferous household. We used to argue a lot at the television. There was a lot of shouting at Margaret Thatcher, which David would not have approved of. So I wanted to go into politics and wanted to for ages and did a politics degree. But alongside kind of voluntarily, I was going to a Baptist church in Weston. And I went to the Sunday school and I went to the holiday clubs and I went to the youth groups and all that kind of thing. And when I got a little bit too old to go, I started helping And I'd end up running Sunday school classes and helping at running groups at Bible club camps and things. So I was pretty much doing voluntary youth work since I was a youth, really. And while I was doing my politics degree, I was coming home at weekends and running a Sunday school class for 11 to 14-year-olds at my church. And I kind of decided that was what I was really enjoying doing and where God was kind of nudging me. So I went to my mum's office. She was working for the Diocese of Bath and Wells, and I met their youth officer and said, "What do I do if I want to do youth work full time? Is there some like magic thing that I can actually be employed doing this?" And he showed me some courses, and I decided to do the Centre for Youth Ministry one. I worked part-time at a couple of churches whilst doing my degree. And never look back, really. It is a little bit like politics. You have to be quite diplomatic sometimes.
Okay, and what do you think are the main challenges facing Christian youth work today?
How long you got? Well, I was thinking a little bit of what Helen said, really. It's really weird because this verse that you guys read, well, these verses, the bit that says what happens when we live God's way, kind of the fourth paragraph down, I have on my wall in my office, and I didn't know you were going to talk about it. Because I decided, I heard it in a sermon once and decided that every day I would try and be a little bit more like this verse. Because I think that it's so relevant to the culture and society that we find ourselves in today. People nowadays, whatever age they are, I think, don't really think that the church has anything to say to them at all. They think we're a bit of a relic from like a bygone era. And yeah, there are the odd churches in every other city that have kind of vibrant student congregations that might walk past the building every Sunday and say, "Oh, it's quite loud in there. There's quite a lot of people. I wonder what's going on." But I think most people, sadly, don't think that we are in any way relevant to the world in which they find themselves. But like Helen said, we have a lot to say, to speak into our culture, with young people and with older people as well. And I think probably the greatest challenge for Christian youth work is to show that relevance. And that actually we do have, like Helen said, a way of life that has been tried and tested and not found wanting. And it can speak to every age. And I think translating that is probably quite the biggest challenge.
Okay, so that's all our questions. Here's some other ones. If anyone's got any more questions then, bring them up now. Okay, what do you enjoy most about the job?
This one or youth work generally? Okay, this one. I think I quite like having my own office. That's quite nice. I used to work from home. But yeah, it is quite nice having an office. I like talking about the Bible. I'm a bit of a geek. I like talking about how the Bible is relevant. And the thing that I like most about this job is that there are so many young people who like talking about it too. And they're all really kind of perceptive about it. And a lot of them are really intelligent, which makes me feel like I should go away and read more books and learn more sometimes. But yeah, I think that's probably what I like best, that actually people want to talk about faith and they want to talk about kind of the Bible and what it means.
Okay, when you first became a Christian, what did you think it meant to be a Christian?
I don't know, I was 6. I thought I probably meant more sweets. I thought it meant that someone was going to love me all the time and that there was someone that I could always talk to and who kind of understood what it was like to be me. I think it was a very kind of Jesus as my best friend kind of thing, which is still there kind of, but has, yeah, there's more aspects to it now.
Okay, what is the most random request you've had in your career so far as a youth worker?
Who was that? I don't know. Random request that I've had so far. I can't think of any. Mark, can you think of any? I never told you anything random. I don't know. That is another question. That's true. This is random. I got asked to write a reference for one of my young people at a church that I went to before, because he was going to be training to become a minister. And I guess that's not random, because Christian young people train to become ministers, but it made me feel really old. and he's an assistant pastor now.
That's a good question, because we know you love reading. So what is your favourite book?
Christian book or non-Christian book?
Any.
Okay. Do I get marked down if I don't say the Bible?
Absolutely.
Can we take that as kind of... Yeah, that's... Okay, the Bible's amazing. I always get in trouble. I think probably The Time Traveller's Wife. Ooh, excellent. I get round of applause for it. Time Traveller's Wife by Audrey Niffenegger, something like that. Yes. I think I've read it about 6 times, and every single time I cry, even though I know what's going to happen.
And do you think you have any bad habits?
This is a question for me or Mark. Go on then. Okay, that's fine. Aww. well done. I think I worry too much. I like trying to fix things. And people. And and things like that, yeah. That's probably quite a bad habit. Because it's not my job. and I read too much. I think that's probably quite a bad habit.
Okay, where can you see yourself at the age of 50?
Which, by the way, is a very long way away. Oh my goodness. I don't know. I want to lecture and write eventually, because I think you can be a youth worker when you're 50, but you have to try really hard. and it just seems too much like hard work. I think you can be a youth worker when you're 50. I've met them. But I think because I like the talking about the Bible and faith and things, I would like to lecture at a youth work college and help other youth workers work with young people and write stuff. Not that I've got anything particularly interesting to say, but I'd like to write books, I think.
Okay, where does the name Peter come from?
It's all questions for other people. I don't know. Well, okay, it's technically from Scandinavia, but I'm not Scandinavian, and neither are any of my family.
I'm not sure. I just know that ever since I was a child, if I had a daughter, I wanted to call them Peter. So I must have read it somewhere, but that is lost in the mix of time.
Okay, so it's from her, over there.
Okay, what do you think is the hardest or easiest age to reach the young person?
I think I understand that. I think that they're all equally kind of tricky, and I think you have to work in different ways with different ages. I think there is a particularly different age, particularly difficult age for churches and youth groups to hold on to young people, round about when they kind of hit 11, 12, 13, like the teenage years, as they're called, because then is when they normally start asking questions, And I think churches generally are not set up for young people to ask loads of questions. I've had a lot of parents of young people coming to me and saying, my young person, or my son, daughter even, because that would be a weird thing to say, my young person won't, my son or daughter won't go to church anymore. I can't drag them out of bed on a Sunday morning. They don't seem interested. They say they don't believe in God anymore. And they're all really panicky. But actually that happens to pretty much every young person at varying ages, but normally kind of around 12, 13, 14 maybe. Because they start looking at what they've always believed, and they realise that they've always believed it because their parents have always believed it, or because the congregation that they're in has always believed it. And when they get to the age where they're kind of looking at their own identity and what they believe kind of generally, in terms of kind of morals and things, they look at their faith, and they are trying to work out whether it's a faith that they can have personally as opposed to just something that they receive from their parents. So I think the asking questions is a really natural stage, and everybody goes through it, but I think generally the church doesn't know how to handle it, panics, thinks that they're all going to stop being Christians and run away and never come back, and tends not to be prepared to enter into a debate around different issues. So I think that, yeah, that's the most difficult kind of thing, is to hang on to the young people that you've got. I think you can reach people who haven't heard about Jesus, because Christianity's got amazing things to say, but I think it's quite tough to hang on to the ones that you've already got, maybe.
Right, what are the big challenges for youth work in Marlborough?
Everybody's really busy. I think that's the biggest challenge, that everybody is really busy. And young people, because their parents are great and want to provide opportunities for them, have given them lots to do. And I think trying to fit any kind of youth work stuff around that is fairly tricky. I think that's probably the biggest. I think the other is a bit of a kind of, there's a bit of a divide between people who are quite middle class and provide lots of opportunities, and then people who aren't that well off. I think making links between those is probably quite a big thing too.
Thank you very much.
It's commissioning time.
Let's go here.
Get here.
Yeah.
Right in the middle
right
of everybody.
I'm just going to, Susan and Peter and I have got a script here, but I'm just going off script now, just to say that it's really good to be commissioning somebody who is already, as it were, sung for her supper. And I think that we can all agree that we're very impressed with what we've just heard. So thank you for questions and answers. I think they've been terrific. Thank you. Pause whilst I...
Screen as well. There's things for you to say. Okay. If it's in bold, then that's you. You need to concentrate now, so put the cake down.
Today we commission Peter for service as a youth worker in the community of Marlborough and in the Ecumenical Partnership. We are the body of Christ.
Each of us is a member of it.
There is one ministry of Christ.
In this ministry we all share.
There are different ways of serving God.
It is the same Lord whom we serve.
The Christian nurture of young people is the responsibility of the whole church. In order that this ministry may be fulfilled, the churches appoint youth workers. It is their privilege and responsibility, in the name of Christ, to pray regularly for those in their care, to offer by word and deed a Christian example, and to guide them in their journey of faith. In all these things, they will seek for themselves and those in their care a deepening experience of God's grace in Christ. Without God's help, no one can exercise this ministry, but the Holy Spirit has been given to us and is our helper and counselor. Peter, do you believe that you are called by God through the church to work with young people?
I do so believe.
Will you be diligent in preparation and continue to equip yourself in this ministry?
With God's help, I will.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for Peter, who has responded to your call, and we pray that your Holy Spirit may inspire her as she undertakes the ministry in your name.
By her encouragement and example, may she enable others to discover new life in Christ. Amen. Members of the body of Christ, will you encourage Peter in her ministry and support her with your prayers?
With God's help, we will.
We're going to anoint Peter with some oil. She's going to slip off her shoes. And I'm just going to put some oil into Andrew's hand. We anoint your feet for the going. We anoint your hands for the loving, for the doing. We anoint your heart for the loving. And we anoint your head for the knowing. Andrew, will you please bless Peter?
Heavenly Father, fill your servant Peter with your Spirit. Open her heart to the riches of your grace. Guide her in all things. And help all of us to play our part in her work in building up your kingdom in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This day is your gift to me. I take it, Lord, from your hand and thank you for the wonder of it.
God be with us in this day, every day and every way, with us and for us in this your day, and the love of the affection of heaven be towards us.
All that we are and all that we do, Lord,
we place into your hands.
Everything that we work for and everything that we hope for,
we place into your hands.
The troubles that weary us and the thoughts that disturb us,
we place into your hands.
Each one that we pray for and each one that we care for,
we place into your hands.
I place into your hands, Lord, the choices that I face. Guard me from choosing the dangerous way which ends in pain and tears.
Rich in counsel, Lord, show Peter the way that is plain and safe. Show Peter what blessing it is to have work to do. And sometimes, and most of all when the day is overcast and her courage faints, let her hear your voice saying, "You are my beloved one, in whom I am well pleased."
Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul.
In the name of Christ we stand, and in his name move out across the land, in fearfulness and blessing, to gather the kingdom to the King, and claim this land for God.
Keep me close to you, Lord. I lift my hands to you.
Our hands, Lord, are your gift to us. We stretch them up to you. Always hold them.
Help me to find my happiness in my acceptance of what is your purpose for me. In work well done, in quietness born of trust, and most of all, in the awareness of your presence in my spirit. Amen. Amen.
Great. If anybody would like to come up and lay hands on Peter from the body, that's great. And everybody else would join in from wherever you are. If you want to stand up, maybe, or not, it's up to you. For those of you who come to 9 a.m., this will be a familiar sort of scene, just for laying hands on Peter. And if you're not actually up here, which is absolutely fine, of course, if you, as a sign that you're all real part, if you could just hold your hand towards Peter as a sign that you're asking the Spirit to come and bless her now. And although I'll lead off, if anybody would like to pray from where they are, just belt it out and that would be great. Thank you, Father, for Peter. Thank you for hearing our prayers and her prayers tonight. Father, we come before you and ask your forgiveness for maybe the ways that we have failed some of the young people in this place over many years. So first of all, Father, before we thank you for the wonderful way things that have already happened and are happening, could we ask your forgiveness, Father, for our shortcomings, for our short-sightedness, our failures. Please forgive us, Lord. But we thank you for the devotion project. How we thank you for it and for your blessing of it, Lord. And this new stage in its progress. Thank you for what's gone before. Thank you for Dan. Thank you for Kirsty and Chloe, who have, in each in their way, moved forward in this place and reached out through the project to many, many young people. And Holy Spirit, we ask you again now to come and bless Peter in her work here. We lift her up now, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray for energy and enthusiasm. We pray that we would have energy and enthusiasm, that we would talk about the project among each other and amongst those we meet. Thank you, Father, for this, the dawn of this new era in devotion. Strengthen Peter, protect her. Bless us now, Holy Spirit, and bless Peter with your presence now. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we pray that you would impart great gifts of wisdom to Peter, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would give her gifts of wisdom and insight in her daily working life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. the young people in this town. We thank you for all the young people who have come along to the devotion activities, and we pray for all those other young folks in this town who would benefit from that, that you may need more of them here. We thank you for the openness of the schools as well to use attendance at assemblies and then to outreach there. And we ask your blessing on all this work, and that you will find and bring and encourage young people in this town to work with us here. We ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name.
Father, praise your protection around us. Pray that your angels guard us. Pray that your presence is full of goodness. Pray that your love and your children are made better. We ask that you stand around us.
And they all said, Amen. Amen. Just while I have the microphone, and I know we've had a lot of words, and this will only be a few more, and then we'll sing our rousing final song. Could I thank you on behalf of Devotion Youth Project? First of all, I'd like to thank Jill particularly, Jill Mortimer, for Jill, where are you? Please stand up. It's over there. For an enormous amount of work over the last few years, actually, in holding things pretty much together and dealing with all the stuff that is really, most of us find so tedious and boring, but important in terms of trying to employ people, and lots of stuff like that, which is so without which things would have been very difficult. Jill, thank you very, very much indeed. On behalf of and that's not to forget also Kath, who also has had significant input over the last period of time. And Andrew Trowbridge, who continues to do money bags things. And but again, hugely important task. And the other member of the sort of management team is Mo, who has also turned out week on week, very faithful, thrown in lots of ideas and done a lot of hard work behind the scenes as well. could I thank you, those of you who are here anyway, who cough up dosh every year, to keep this project on the road. It is funded by individuals from Marlborough and a few beyond, without whom the whole project would collapse, frankly. I don't want to sort of, how can I put it, muddy the water right now, but thank you for your ongoing support. If you don't support Devotion, we're more than happy to talk to you about how to do so, because we will be launching a sort of renewed, this is where we are, this is what we need, you know, dig deep and all that. And anybody who's got any bright ideas of pools of money, then we're always happy to hear it, because it's not going to run on fresh air, frankly. And it is miraculous and wonderful and huge blessing that the people of Marlborough, the churches and some other individuals beyond the churches here see fit to put a substantial amount of their own money into this project, which is fantastic, is it not? So, Thank you. Neil. Oh, and Neil. Should we, while we're thanking people, should we thank everybody? No, thank the band for coming all the way.